Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Tuesday, May 24th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We're going to talk about depleted uranium today, one of the nastiest subjects there is out there. But before we get to that, we're going to catch you up on a couple things. First of all, we have this disc here. It's in our Wing TV CD-ROM series. We only have a few of these out here. We're making this when we did our 9/11 Ultimate Collection, and we never got around to finalizing. We had to do some work on the inside. So we only got a few of these, and instead of selling them, what we're going to do is, for the first orders that come in until they last, we're going to give a free copy of this to every order that there is. And what these are is Lisa and myself, some of our earliest shows on Wing TV. You'll see different backdrops. You even see us standing up in one of them.
Before we got our act together with the camera. And so they're really...
Yeah, this is the...
You can see the transformation over time.
Exactly. And why don't you read the shows that are included on it?
Okay, we'll have our anti-war blowout show, the Mike Rupert Unmasked show, Ron Brown, Christ Killers, based on Victor's chapbook, Zionists, Reading Articles Is Not Enough, which was a really popular article.
Mm-hmm.
The Bilderbergs, Distraction TV, our April Fool's show, and a show about Mike Gallagher and Pat Buchanan.
Right, that's the one where we almost got arrested. So,
yeah.
So whoever orders first, we're going to just put these in every order until they're done and has filmed the picture inside.
This is such a cool cover.
Yeah. There's a purple on there, and then show the other side.
You can see it. The glare.
And it has a picture of Lisa and myself on the inside. So it's full color, and I think there's 10 different shows on it, so... Until they run out, we're going to put them in there. Also now, we're going to get to a few news updates. First of all, this vote on Bush's judicial nominees and whether the filibuster will remain in the Senate finally came to a head last night. And what happened, this is very historic, is that the minority actually won out over the majority. In other words, the Democrats...
What'd they do, bring baseball back?
I don't know. It was... Well, what happened was that the Republicans buckled, or should I say seven of them, and this includes John Warner, John McCain, Mike DeWine, Susan Collins, Lindsey Graham, and two others, and they came into this agreement with the Democrats where they buckled and allowed the Democrats to get their way. This is very, very important because even the White House is applauding it, but the far right now is outraged over this. And I think it's historic, Lisa, because this might be the day when we look back in history that there was a change in the mood in this country and the Democrats might actually be winning control again back from the Republicans. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing or not either, because I can remember the days when the Democrats were in power and it wasn't any better than it is today. But
it doesn't matter because they all work for the same people.
Exactly. So what this is just more...
It's political theater.
Yeah, more drama.
Big deal.
But the far right is the ones that are outraged about it. Now, our second news story today is about a woman named Jeanine Pirro. And she is the county DA from Westchester County in New York. Now, people might say, who cares about Jeanine Pirro? Who's she? Well, what she did is she announced that she's not going to run for a fourth term. People are going to still say, who cares? Who's Jeanine Pirro? But it's very important because she said she's not running again because she's going to seek a higher office. And what this office is, as everybody's saying, is she's going to run for the Senate against, guess who?
Hillary
Clinton. Now, people might say, well, so what about that, too? Well, it's important because this is going to make Hillary Clinton play her hand earlier than she wants to, because she's up for election next year in 2006.
So she's going to have to state her future objectives.
Right. Quicker than she wanted to. And it's vital because if Hillary runs for re-election for the Senate, that means that all this money and her campaign bunker is going to have to be used in the senatorial race and not saved up for her presidential bid in 2008.
So she has three options. She could stay in the Senate.
Right.
Or she could opt to run for president.
Right.
Or she could just retire.
And that would be the best. We'd give her a standing ovation if she did that one. So we applaud Jeanine Pirro. We hope she runs for the Senate, and we hope she just goes right for Hillary's throat.
Don't sell out.
Exactly. Finally now. There's a senator named Gordon Smith, and he came out the other day and said something that everybody knows is true, but he finally came out and said that in the Congress, Israel always comes first.
Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that. And his exact quote was, obviously, one of the greatest commitments that we have is to the Jewish people and to the state of Israel. Now, I always thought one of their greatest commitments was to the American people,
yeah.
And to the United States of America. Well, this was echoed also by a congressman named Christopher Shays.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we are Israel's strong ally. It would be foolish for people to think that somehow we are neutral. Now, what do you think of that, folks?
Who's our ally? Who's the yeah. ally of the American people?
Yeah.
Who certainly isn't our government.
Yeah, who's putting us first? Wouldn't it be nice if these guys said, well, America is our best interest. We're going to put the military down on the border. We're going to stop illegal immigration.
Like, what problem do they have telling the leaders of other countries that they have to think of their own country's best interests first and foremost?
Yeah. So just keep those thoughts in mind. Because they're so arrogant now in their commitment to Israel that they don't even give a damn anymore to come right out and say it.
So we kowtow to Israel, we kowtow to Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, where is it going to end?
Israel comes first. Now, let's talk about depleted uranium.
Yeah.
This is a subject that, it's one of the things, Lisa, that the more you find out about it, you can't even believe that it's true. You can't
it's
even
surreal.
Believe that it's happening.
Yep.
And before we really get into this subject, the first thing we have to ask is, what is depleted uranium? So fill people in.
We have a brief definition here. It's a byproduct of uranium enrichment, the most common chemical form of which is depleted uranium hexafluoride, DUF6. It is what is left over when most of the highly radioactive types, isotopes of uranium, are removed for use as nuclear fuel or nuclear weapons. The depleted uranium used in armor-piercing munitions and in enhanced armor protection for some Abrams tanks is also used in civilian industry, primarily for stabilizers in airplanes and boats.
Mm-hmm.
Very heavy and very poisonous metal used to enhance the kill value of American British ammunition. In fact, it's been characterized as the perfect weapon for killing lots of people.
Huh. Now, that's a good foundation. And we use in this country in war two kinds of uranium weapons, depleted and non-depleted. And the difference between depleted uranium weapons and, say, the bombs, the nuclear weapons that we dropped over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, was those bombs killed people from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Just the intense heat and so forth just literally melted people. But with these depleted uranium weapons, they kill people from the inside.
Right.
Out.
Because they aerosolize into very microscopic particles that get absorbed into the water, the ground, the air. People breathe them in, and they end up going through your bloodstream and attaching to your bone, getting in the bone where they latch on to the calcium.
Yeah. So in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, when we dropped those bombs, the people right around Ground Zero were killed instantly. With these weapons, of course, the ones that are dropped right on them die, but with the lingering effects, it takes years and years to kill them, and these people are filled with diseases and different body, just, you know, maladies and so forth. And in Afghanistan, when we invaded there right after 9/11, I think it was October 2001, we actually dropped 1,000 tons. That's not pounds. 1,000 tons of uranium weaponry.
I went through a few numbers here just to give you a little idea of how things are going. This article that I was reading is 2 or 3 years old, but it said some good numbers. 580,400 soldiers who served in Gulf War I, 11,000 of them at the time of this writing, now dead. By the year 2000, 325,000 were on permanent medical disability. Yeah. 56% of soldiers from that war have some form of permanent medical problem. Okay, now I looked at the percentages for previous wars. The disability rate for wars of our last century was 5%. The disability rate for Vietnam, 10%. We've jumped now, 56%.
Mm.
That's a big jump.
That's incredible. Very incredible. Now, in the Gulf War of 1991, when George Bush Sr. invaded Iraq, we dropped 350 tons of uranium weaponry. And as Lisa said now, from that war, 325,000 Gulf War vets are in permanent medical disability.
Right. And further than that, scientists and chemists are finding new and rapid malignancies in soldiers from the 2003 Iraq War,
mm-hmm.
now coming about. And, you know, you have to look at any research regarding this as look at who is sponsoring the research, because the emphasis and slant is based upon the purpose of the research and who is sponsoring it.
Right.
So you'll have two different camps. You have the apologists who minimize the harmful, you know, risks associated with DU, and then you have the people who are telling the truth, veterans and so forth, independent groups.
Yeah. Now, but it gets worse. See, Gulf War I, 350 tons of uranium weaponry. Afghanistan, 1,000 tons. In the first 2 months of our recent invasion of Iraq, 2,200 tons of uranium weaponry was dropped in just the first 2 months. Now, to get an idea, Iraq is only about two-thirds of the size of Texas. So we got 2,200 tons of uranium weaponry in something that's two-thirds the size of Texas.
Right.
Can you imagine that?
And the depleted uranium is really nuclear waste.
Yeah.
They found a new use for, which is ammunition and weaponry.
Right.
So, I mean, just to kill animals, plants, to kill anything.
Yeah, and a perfect example of this is Fallujah. Now, I'm sure everybody remembers when there was that big firestorm there in Fallujah, and finally we just went in and wiped it out. And what we have now is Fallujah. There was 350,000 people living in that city. What it is right now is nothing more than a radioactive waste dump. And what it does is it's turning all these people's genetic codes into toast. I mean, it's just destroying their genetic
codes. Listen to this. Uranium is most dangerous when it burns and is aerosolized, which is what happens when it's used in a weapon form. The term depleted uranium is a misnomer. Depleted uranium is almost as highly concentrated as pure uranium, and may contain plutonium in trace amounts.
Yeah. Now, people,
this is what our soldiers are absorbing into their systems.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned our soldiers, because people might say, well, we're fighting against the enemy. What's it matter if we're wiping them out with uranium weaponry? But the problem is that our own soldiers are also being brought in contact with this stuff, and there's no suit and there's no breathing apparatus that can prevent this fine radioactive dust to get in their lungs and to get in their body.
Right. It's causing deformities. It's causing leukemia. It's causing cancer. Soldiers are being diagnosed with renal disease.
Yeah.
All kinds of illnesses. And if you look at the pictures of the babies that are born from these soldiers who are contaminated, it's just horrific.
Yeah, and they also say that it's hard, especially on the kidneys. So these soldiers coming back, and years to come, you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to be wearing diapers. That's what's going to happen to them, because they're going to lose control of their internal organs. Here's another thing, Lisa.
It's transmitted through the sperm, too.
Yeah. Well, they say that this is a type of, like, radioactive sperm. So these soldiers are coming home. They're having sex with their girlfriends and their wives. And what's happening is there is an inordinate number of miscarriages and also abnormal babies with all these different birth defects coming from our soldiers.
Right. Even the Encyclopedia Britannica of 1960 stated that ionizing radiation is one of the main causes of leukemia. So they've known this stuff for decades.
Right.
And it's like we said in the beginning, our soldiers are being carted off and set up to die.
That's right. Now, a few months ago, ABC News' anchorman, Peter Jennings, came out and said that he had cancer.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people said, well, you know, he was a smoker. Well, Peter Jennings quit smoking 20 years ago. But one thing was that in Gulf War I and also Afghanistan and Iraq, he was right in there reporting from these scenes, and he was in close contact with his depleted uranium. Are we saying that's what causes cancer? No, but it's a distinct possibility.
It'd be interesting to know if he's been tested for contamination.
Right, yeah. Now, USA Today recently came out and said that one out of every four soldiers that's coming home from the war in Iraq and Afghanistan is suffering from mental disorders. Now, is this from the war? That's a good possibility. Mm-hmm. But when you have some kind of depleted uranium and you're breathing it in, it's going around in your brain. Do you think that has a possibility of affecting the way you think?
Uranium has a half-life of 4.5 billion years. Right. So even if you don't want to think about it or look at it and deal with the situation, the truth of the matter is, very bluntly, we are going to be looking at it and thinking about it and dealing with it for the next 4.5 billion years.
Yeah. And then there's also reports, Lisa, that's saying that our troops are being given hallucinogenic drugs so that it counters their fear of going into these combat conditions. And, you know, these soldiers know what we're dropping over there. Do you think they're stupid? Well, of course not.
Since the first Gulf War, cancer rates have risen 700 to 1,000%.
Now, when these vets come back, though, they want to go to the VA or whatever and get some kind of compensation for their problems that they're facing. Well, what's happening?
They're getting the shaft.
They're getting the shaft because when they go for medical care, they're finding out that their records are being lost, they're being destroyed, or the whole thing's being obfuscated where they're saying, oh, there's no problem here, you know, just go back on your way. And in the 1990s, Congress actually spent $247 million to study the Gulf War syndrome. And what did they find? Nothing. It was just, you know, they're going off on all these tangents.
The apologists are going to minimize the risks and the ill effects of depleted uranium.
That's right. Now, even worse than that, think about everyone out there that has kids that are 18, 19, all the way up to 25, 29 years old. There's over 6,000 military recruiters going across the country right now. They're going to your high schools. They're going to your malls. They're going to high school football games. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to get your kids to enlist in the military. And
folks, tell your kids the truth about depleted uranium. Tell them about the fact that it's a death sentence.
Exactly.
That if they go over there and get exposed to it and absorb it into their system, they're as good as dead.
Right. And for the last few months, there's been numerous reports saying that enlistment is dropping every single month. Nobody wants to go in to the military anymore, especially when we see the lies about Pat Tillman, about Jessica Lynch. Nobody wants to be in the military anymore. So, to counter this, and this is the biggest fear of all, is all that we need, all that they need, is another 9/11.
Remember what the government thinks of you. Henry Kissinger said, our military men are dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns for foreign policy.
That's right.
What they think of your kids and my kids.
If we have another 9/11, what's that going to do? It's going to be there's going to be another draft. The legislation is already in place right now, folks. All we need is another disaster, and boom, they bring the draft back, and then they send all them kids over there right in the heart of this depleted uranium nightmare.
The truth is, what we are fighting in Iraq and what they want to fight in Iran are nuclear wars.
Yeah.
That's what the Iraq war is. It's a nuclear war.
Right. And there's also, you know, rumors that Israel, during the first Gulf War, also dropped some nuclear weapons in Iraq. So we're not the only ones using this crap over there.
We're selling all this stuff to our buddy Israel.
Yeah, and we just sold them thousands more of these bunker busters.
Right.
And it's on the horizon very much so that Israel's actually going to be the one to do the dirty work for this invasion of Iran. Iran is next.
Michael Chossadovsky wrote an excellent article on the upcoming war with Iran. I mean, it's not even an if, it's a when.
Yeah, and Scott Ritter said that all the framework's in place. Right. All they have to do now
We're in readiness mode. That's what he says George Bush signed off on. Not that we were going to attack in June, but up until June and even after, we're now officially in readiness to attack mode.
Exactly. So, folks, go on to Google. Do you remember the site, Lisa, that had that DU? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put this up on the Wing TV homepage. There's an excellent video out there.
Yeah, it's a video slideshow on DU, and you need to show it to your kids before they talk to the recruiter. In fact, talk them out of talking to the recruiter.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just another used car salesman for the government.
Yeah, and I think it was like Eric something. I can't remember. But we're going to put that right on the Wayne TV homepage on our news updates. Mm-hmm. Watch this video. It's a flash video, so it only lasts a couple minutes.
If you want to join the fight, join the fight against the New World Order.
Exactly. So, folks, keep your eyes open. Go into Google, look this stuff up, and you'll be mortified. And like I said at the beginning of the show, you can't even believe something like this is happening. I mean, the people that are running the world are poisoning our Earth.
It's a potent toxin. It kills people. Take a look at the pictures of what it's doing to babies. They're graphic, they're horrific, they're ghastly, and these people are doing this to our babies.
Right. So, folks, keep your eyes open. We'll be back again on Wednesday, I guess, on Wing TV.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. That's a better way to put it. So, folks, thanks for all your feedback. Mm-hmm. There's so many of you out there that get it now. You're getting it. We're moving over the hump.
We're still waiting for Alex Jones to answer the questions or say something.
Right. And look at our lead article on the Wing TV homepage. It's what Lisa read yesterday. Phil Jahan attacks Alex Jones.
Right.
This is good stuff, folks. So we'll see you tomorrow. Keep your eyes open.